invite you tonight to take your Bible and open with me to the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119 this evening. Right before we came out tonight, while we were gathering to pray, Tim asked me what I was preaching on. I said, Psalm 119, and he just kind of looked at me like, I don't think we have time to cover all of that tonight. We're not going to cover all of Psalm 119, although in the 176 verses there is much for us to learn and glean from. But we just want to focus on some of the verses tonight. Psalm 119, it has been said of this psalm that it opens, as does the entire Psalter, with a beatitude for our comfort and encouragement, directing us immediately to that happiness which all mankind in different ways are seeking and inquiring after. All would secure themselves from the incursion of misery, but all do not consider that misery is the offspring of sin, from which, therefore, it is necessary to be delivered and preserved in order to become happy or blessed. The world today is seeking after happiness, and so are many Christians today. They desire to know a life of blessing. And in of itself, there is nothing wrong with happiness or the desire to seek to be happy. I don't think there's anyone here tonight that would say, I like days of misery. We would prefer happiness to misery. We spend much time and much energy seeking to secure our happiness and our comfort. However, I think it's important that we consider what is the source of our happiness. Where are we finding our joy? Where do we find our happiness and blessedness? Because honestly, folks, that's what makes all the difference. There are a lot of people seeking happiness and they are finding short times of happiness, but they're seeking it from the wrong source. It eventually runs dry. It eventually leaves them wanting. But there is a source that will bring to us great happiness and great delight all the days of our life. Tonight from Psalm 119, we want to look at the opening verses of this psalm and from it consider what I'll call the genesis of our gladness. Follow along as I read the first 9 verses and then we'll bow together in a word of prayer. The psalmist begins and says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. O sake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we ask and pray tonight that as we come to this portion of Scripture, that you would help us to see that in the Word of God we find that which is our source of delight, our joy, for it brings us to the fountain of living water, the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we drink of him, we will never thirst again. Father, I ask and pray that you would help us to see the wonderful value and the blessing that we have contained before us in the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us tonight through these truths and strengthen our faith and our walk and our desire to be in the Word of God. So Lord, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119 has been described as one of the greatest pieces of scriptural literature. It is unsurpassed in its quality, creating within the reader an insatiable thirst and an undying love for the Word of God and for the God of the Word. Although it was penned thousands of years ago, you read through Psalm 119 and you find that its truths are relevant for today, needed in our day and age. It has been said of Psalm 119 that he that shall read it considerately will either be warmed by it or shamed by it. Philip Henry, the father of well-known commentator Matthew Henry, recommended to his children that they take one verse per day and meditate upon it. Within 1 year's time, that would cause them to have meditated upon each of the verses of Psalm 119 twice. He believed that if they would take that time to meditate upon this psalm, it would create within them a greater love for the rest of the scripture. He desired that greatly, for he knew, as often as he told them, all grace grows as love for the Word of God grows. Psalm 119 was written by David. It showcases for us and all who read it the splendor and the blessings of God's Word. It is the Bible, the Word of God, which ought to be our delight. And as you and I delight in the law of the Lord, as we delight in the Word of God, we will find it to be the genesis of our gladness. Many today are seeking happiness in those things that can never satisfy. Their lives are characterized by barrenness. They don't know blessing. Their lives have become dried up by the heat of trials and troubles of life. But as you come to the Word of God, you find there to be the rivers of water, the Word of God, the streams and fountains of living waters, which take away our thirst and create for us the desire to come and learn even more. David here in this psalm purposed within his heart to elevate to us the excellency of the Scripture and to point us to that which is the true source of all delight. What I want you and I to do tonight is in the first 8-9 verses, look at the 8 words that David uses to describe the Word of God. There are 8 different terms that he uses here to help us see and to understand the wonderful value and blessing of God's Word, the excellency of the Bible. I want you to see them with me tonight. I want us to understand it. For as we understand the value of God's Word and as we come to it, we will find again the genesis of our gladness, the source of our happiness and our true delight. Yet, folks, it is sad to say that many Christians today are looking for happiness outside of God's Word. They're looking for delight in the things of this world, and they have found their lives instead to be barren. Look at verse 1, if you would. I want to begin to see these words together. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." The first word that I want you to see with me is simply the word of the law of the Lord. David refers to the Word of God, the Bible, as the law of Jehovah. The word law here comes from a word that means to direct. It means to guide. It means to aim. It's the general term used of the Bible or God's law. The Jews refer to it as the Torah. The laws of God are those things placed clearly in the sight of men. They were given that men might be directed, men might be guided, that men might be aimed in the right direction. The law of God. This law binds us to obedience. You and I understand that about laws. We are bound to obey the laws of our land. If the law says you can only drive 50 kilometers an hour, and you decide to drive 80 kilometers an hour, and the police officer catches you, you will pay the fine because you did not abide by the law. You didn't obey. The law says you have no right to go into someone else's property and take which is theirs. That's called stealing. You are bound to obey the law. Folks, recorded within the Word of God is His law. It is clearly placed before us. When I'm driving down a road and I choose to exceed the speed limit, if I'm pulled over and I have to pay my fine, there is nothing I can do to say, I didn't know. It is clearly marked for all to see. Now, I could have been honest in the first maybe few months as I was driving around and my van was in miles per hour, and I kept forgetting that I had to look at the smaller numbers in the little speed dial. I've learned that over time. But folks, there is no excuse. I can't use that anymore. My truck is now in kilometers. I don't have that excuse anymore. But folks, here's the reality. We are bound to obey the law of God. And David said that man who chooses to walk in the laws of God is one whose life is blessed. Look what it says. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Why? Because he walks in the law of Jehovah. This world is filled with things that are quick to defile a man. We are inundated with immorality in our society. Everywhere we look, there are things that are designed to defile us, to corrupt us, to affect the way we think. But when you and I seek to live according to the laws of God, it protects us, it keeps us from being undefiled in the way. And the Bible says, therefore we are blessed. Happy is that man that's undefiled in the way because he walks in the law of God. It is the law of God, those things clearly placed before us, that will allow us to know the true happiness that God intends. But when we reject the law, we find that we are robbed of that joy. Now look at verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. The word of God is known as the law of the Lord. It is also known as the testimonies of the Lord. The testimonies of God. The word testimonies here is a word that means to bear witness, to go beyond, to stretch further. When we refer to the Word of God and the testimonies of the Lord, we're speaking of those revelations, those truths that point to matters beyond themselves. It causes us to see God beyond what we would even begin to imagine. Within the Word of God, we find types and representation of things to come. They witness of His promises to His people. The testimonies of the Lord. They witness to us of Him. They witness to us of things to come. Consider with me just for a moment the promises of God. The precious promises given to us in His Word. What a blessing it is as we come to the promises of God's Word. They cause us to see beyond the normal and the mundane things of this world. They allow us to see and understand the reality of things to come. There is a joy in knowing that this life is not the end unto itself. You agree with that? This isn't the end. And as I come to the Word of God, I find His testimonies, which points me to things beyond the mundane of this world. Because the Bible promises me that there is more to come. I don't have to get all that I have that I can get here today, because there is a tomorrow. And the things of tomorrow are greater than the things of this day. I don't have to live for the mundane. I can live for that which is heavenly. You and I looked with great anticipation to a brighter future, a hope that has no end. See, one day, Jesus Christ is coming again. One day, He's going to call us home to Him. One day, we'll no longer be upon this earth concerned with our own lives and the things of this world and the material things. We will see Him and we will be like Him. You and I know that that day is yet future, the day that the Savior comes. Yet we look with great anticipation because of the testimonies of the Lord. David looked with great anticipation to the coming of the Messiah, the promised one. You and I can look back and know that He has come, that He died for our sins, that He was buried and that He rose again. And now live with great anticipation that He is coming again. And we find those truths in the testimonies of the Lord. By the way, can I remind you what verse 2 says? Because David reminds us, blessed or happy are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. He says, I understand the promises of God. It causes me to want to seek Him with all of my heart. Look at verse 3. There's another word given to us. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. The Word of God, the Bible, can be defined or described as the ways of the Lord. That term, ways, is a term that speaks of the procedure or walk. The ways of the Lord are the plain rules of conduct. It's the way that God expects man to walk in order to be safe, to be holy, to be happy. They do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. I don't know about you, but I always like to know the way I'm supposed to do something. As an employee, I always wanted to know the procedure. Once I knew the procedure, I was able to follow the procedure. If I stuck to the procedure, there was nothing I had to worry about. As a student, I needed to know what the rules were and what they meant to me and how they applied to me. And if I just walked in the ways, I didn't have to worry. Folks, God in His Word has given us His ways, the plain rules of conduct of life. And if you and I will abide by those ways, it says in verse 3, they also do no iniquity. That which robs us of our joy and that which removes the genesis of our gladness is sin. Sin is our greatest problem. It robs us of joy. David in Psalm 51 would say, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. What took that from him? Sin. Our problem is sin. David walked outside of the ways of the Lord. There was a plain rule of conduct, and David violated it. He found himself in iniquity. You find that too in the life of Solomon. God made it very clear that his kings were not to take to them multiple wives. Solomon, 700 wives and 300 concubines. And his heart was turned from the Lord. There's a plain rule of conduct, and we are to obey those rules, and we will do no iniquity. This term, the ways of the Lord, also speaks of the ways that God moves. It allows us to know the way that God Himself moves. Believe it or not, although our society doesn't say this today, and many parents have bought into the lie of society, children want to know their boundaries. There is a joy to know the boundary. There is a happiness for the child that knows the way of his parent. There is confusion when that doesn't exist. I don't know how dad's going to react today. Today it's acceptable, tomorrow it's not. Today it makes him happy, tomorrow it makes him mad. I don't know the ways of my father. But when we know the boundaries and we know the ways, there is a joy, there is a blessing. I can remember years ago, teaching a Bible class to some seniors and talking to some of the young men. And one of the complaints that they had was with one of the other teachers. And what they said to me, they came and asked me some thoughts, and I wanted to be careful with them, but their basic thought was this: we never know from day to day what's going to make them happy. And one of the things that we like about you is we always know where we stand and what we're supposed to do and not do. And you're not trying to be our friend, you're trying to be our authority. I said, can you back up for a moment? I said, sure. I said, so what you're saying to me is this: you want there to be authority, you want there to be boundaries. I said, that's the opposite of what the world says today. And his comment was, we want the boundaries. We need people that will set our boundaries. God in His Word has given us His ways. There is a happiness to the child of God who has considered the ways of God. Again, many in our world today are filled with anxiety and fear. But a Christian who understands the ways of the Lord can rest in perfect peace. Remember the words of Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. To know the ways of God keeps you and I from sin. They do no iniquity. How blessed, folks, it is that God has given to us within the Word of God His law. He has given us testimonies that point us to things still to come, the promises that we can rest in, and it tells us His ways and the rules of conduct of life. What a blessing. Look at verse 4. We find yet another word. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. How precious are the precepts of our God. The word precepts speaks of truth that we can place our trust in. Truths that we can rely upon. When we come to the Word of God, do we not find truths that we can trust? Are there not verses upon which you can build your life, your family? You can hang your hat on them. I like the fact as the Pharisees came to the Lord, they asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these hang all of the law and the prophets. Those are precepts that you can hang your hat on. They'll never be moved. God has given us His Word and truth that we can trust in. Over and again, God has proven Himself to be faithful. His Word has stood the test of time, has it not? How precious are His precepts. Not only should we consider His precepts to be precious, but we should consider them from another perspective, because the word precept can also be understood as knowledge entrusted to man for which he will be responsible and accountable for. God has entrusted to us His Word, precepts. And you and I will be held accountable for the truth that's been entrusted to us. For example, we've been given the gospel. It's been entrusted to our care. There's the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The truth, the doctrines entrusted to our care. There are precepts concerning our families. There are precepts concerning the church. God expects us to know them, and He expects us to follow them. Failure to comply with the precepts rob us of fulfillment and happiness. When you fail to comply to the precepts at work, your career will not find its proper fulfillment. When you fail to comply to the family precepts, a child is robbed of the joy and fellowship with his parents. They've broken the precept. But when we diligently keep the precepts of God, our joy in the Lord, the joy of our salvation is realized, and there is great happiness. David writes and says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." These truths. After that statement, he says in verse 5, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." The word statute here in verse 5 is a word that means to engrave, to inscribe, or to mark out the way, to ordain. By the word of God, the ways of man are ordained. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Our steps are ordained of God. He has engraved in the heart of man the moral law of God. Hold your place here just for a moment. We're going to come back. Just hold your place for a moment. Turn over to Exodus chapter 20 for a moment. Exodus chapter 20. We know this as the Ten Commandments. We know this as the moral law of God. Commands 5 through 10 speak very clearly of our relationships with mankind. I want you to see how abiding by the statutes of God can have a positive effect in your life or a negative, depending on what you choose to do with them. Notice with me these commands, beginning in verse 12. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." I want you to briefly consider with me these commands, these statutes. Honor thy father and thy mother. How many Christian hearts have been broken because of a child's rebellious spirit? Their gladness is removed, and they only know a life of sorrow. Why? Because we have forgotten to honor our father and our mother. We're not living according to his statutes. Thou shalt not kill. Well, there's no problems with that in our society today, right? Consider this thought with me. There are many women in our world who live with the regret of a foolish decision to abort an unwanted child within their womb because their selfishness got in their way. Here's the problem for those ladies. Once that decision was made, there is no going back, and there is only emptiness and a void that remains. That mother knows they killed a child within their womb. It does bother them. It does haunt them. Studies have been done to show it. Why? Because we've forsaken the statute of God, which says, "Thou shalt not kill." We've gone our own way. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Many marriages are destroyed simply because one cannot follow the statute of God. Second marriages are clouded over with doubt and insecurity. If the person that I'm with is, if I'm with the person, I'm the cause of their marriage to be destroyed. Do I really have the confidence that person's never going to roam again? They roam once. Will they roam twice? Many second marriages are clouded with insecurity. Why? Because we have forsaken the statute of the Lord. Thou shalt not steal. No one wins when you steal. Whether that be a student who misses out on an education or an adult who cheats the company they work for, the government, in their taxes, in the end, there is no victory or gladness of heart when we steal. And yet it's being done constantly within our world today. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Too many churches know the damage of the false witness who spreads the lie, the rumor, simply because the pleasure that it brings to share it with another. The final one is thou shalt not covet. You realize that coveting is the opposite of contentment? With contentment there is gladness, but coveting always brings misery. By the way, just a thought, I've made mention of this before, I think. I'll say it again. I think one of the greatest dangers in our society today with social media is coveting. We go on sites like Facebook and Twitter and we see all the posts that are made and all the wonderful things and we begin to wonder and say, how come my life isn't as good as that? We begin to covet. Folks, no good comes from coveting. God says, in whatsoever state we are in, therewith to be content. And why can I be content? Because He has promised, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. So let me ask you a question. Is God alone enough? He's not if you're coveting what your neighbor has. And you are missing out on the gladness of heart that only the Word of God can give you. Because it takes you to the God of the Word. Look at verse 6. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. The word commandment speaks of orders or commands of God. We find the sense of His authority, again, the idea of exacting our obedience. The psalmist tells us that shame comes to those who won't obey. But shame is removed to those who will obey. God's commands are clear. They must be obeyed. We are to have respect to all the commandments of God. Look at verse 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. The Word of God contains for us as well the judgments of the Lord. Those things which govern or determine to regulate. All of our thoughts and actions are to be regulated by God because He alone determines what is right. He is the judge of all the earth. You and I don't determine right and wrong. I don't determine what is acceptable. You and I don't determine what is moral. Just because I want to do it doesn't make it right. Just because I feel okay doesn't make it right. Just because I'm at peace as a Christian doesn't make it right. You say, well, I thought peace was the indicator of the will of God. Does not the Bible say that your conscience can be seared as with a hot iron? Does not the Bible tell us to be careful, for the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? One of the worst bits of counsel you can give to another believer is trust your heart. Never trust your heart. Follow your heart. Don't do that. The heart will often lead you astray. God says, this is right and this is wrong. You say, but I don't like God's answer. That's okay. I don't like some of His answers either. That doesn't change whether or not they're right or wrong. See, folks, I'm not the one who determines right or wrong. God does. It's His judgment. He's the judge, not me. This truth helps me to discern right from wrong. I come to the Word of God and I find His answers. G. Campbell Morgan refers to the judgments of God as the decisions of God in the places of doubt or perplexity. He establishes right and wrong. William Shedd said that God is not under the law or above the law. Hear this. He is the law. God determines right and wrong. God determines whether a thing is acceptable or not. It's His judgments, and we come to His Word and we find His judgments. And when we do, we can say, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. I have learned thy righteous judgments. He says in verse 8, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. There's one final word I want you to see. It's found in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This term word means a discourse. It speaks of the oracles of God, the truth which God determines to share with mankind in a way that we could comprehend. Is there not great joy in knowing that God has given to us all that we need for life and godliness? He's revealed it to us that you and I can understand it. The oracles of God given for our understanding, His Word. Deuteronomy 29:29 is a precious verse concerning the things that God has given to us. I love the truth of it. I want you to see it with me tonight. If you have your Bible, turn there, please. Deuteronomy 29:29. You and I need to understand that God has not revealed everything to us. There are some things that belong to God. They are the secrets of God. But there are things He has revealed to us. He has made them known. They belong to us. They are ours. I can remember the first time this verse was kind of impressed upon my mind, just kind of sitting in a service and a pastor using this verse. And I thought, I never really thought of that verse before. It's a precious verse. Notice what it says. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do, notice the words here, all the words of this law. Did you catch that? The secret things belong to the Lord. Are there mysteries today? Absolutely. Do you understand how God saves a soul? I'm just glad He does. Do you understand what heaven will really be like? I'm glad He gave me a glimpse, but I really have no clue. Do you understand how God reconciles free will with election? I don't. No one here does. If someone comes to you and says, I have it all figured out, they're lying to you because God left it a mystery and you and I don't know what it is. And the secret things belong to God. I'm content with that. I don't have to solve the mysteries of God. They belong to Him. He's a whole lot wiser than I am. And they can stay with Him. I don't have to figure those out. I don't have to enter into those debates. And we waste time when we do. Why? Because the things that He has revealed belong to us. And why are they ours? And by the way, they're ours and our children's forever. Why? That we may do the words of this law and know the gladness of heart. Is there happiness tonight? Should we seek after happiness and blessing? Sure. Just make sure you're seeking it from the right source, that being the Word of God and the God of the Word. Because there is joy in following Him. There is joy in walking with Him. Within the pages of His Word, we find the genesis of our gladness, true joy, lasting happiness is found in obedience to the Word of God and to the God of His Word. Want to find a happy Christian? Find one who loves the law of God and who walks in the statutes, the judgments, and the testimonies of the Lord, who keeps His precepts and seeks to know His statutes and obey His commandments and lives to hear from His Word. You'll find a happy believer. Want to find a miserable believer? Find a believer who has no time for God and His Word. Find a believer that has rebellion within their heart that says, I know what God says, but I'm not doing it anyway. Misery is to follow them. Misery is to follow that family. And the hardest thing for me as a pastor is, I can look around at time and I can see the choices that people are making. And I can see the reasons that they're making them. And I can see the misery that's to come. And I can't stop it. Oh, I want to. Believe me, folks, I do. Sometimes I want to come to you and I want to, for lack of a better way to say, I want to blast you for what you're doing. I really do. In love, of course. But a shepherd wants to pull the sheep back, and sometimes the sheep just keep biting and fighting, and they're stubborn enough just to run away. Here's the hard thing. Every road you choose has a destination. It's either going to lead you to misery or it's going to lead you to happiness. And the genesis of your gladness is found in the Word of God. You build your life upon the principles of the Word of God, the precepts of the Word of God. There will be gladness. That doesn't mean you won't have a life with some sorrow and trouble and trials. We know that's true. The Bible tells us that it will come. But He tells us how to endure. And He tells us how to live in victory. But when we forsake the Word of God, there can be no lasting happiness. There can be no lasting joy. Sometimes I've talked to parents who share their frustration with the loss of children along the way. I begin just to ask some simple questions, and the obvious answer is there, and it's hard to say it to folks, but it's true. Life wasn't built upon the Word of God. The family wasn't built upon the Word of God. You forsook the principles of God's Word. There can be no gladness. There can be no joy. Misery does ensue. But praise the Lord if we come back to God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is merciful and gracious toward us. And He is able to renew. David had sinned. He had fallen. He had forsaken all of these things. But Psalm 51, he repented. And God restored to him the joy of his salvation. He was upheld by His free spirit. He was clean, washed whiter than snow. Do you want to be happy? Want to be blessed? Truly blessed? Lasting joy within your life, within your family, within the church? Then let's come to the law of the Lord. Let's know His testimonies and rest upon them. Let's walk in His ways. Let us keep His precepts diligently. Let us keep His statutes forever. Let us obey His commands and praise Him with upright heart, because we have known His judgments and have lived accordingly. And let us take heed according to His word. Pray with me, please, as we close.